I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH and this classic program by my dad, Pastor Salem. We hope you will invite your friends and family to worship with us. We are grateful for the many ways you communicate with us. From North Dakota, I am so happy to see your program every Sunday as my church closed 6 years ago. I am blessed to have you. A website comment from Kansas reads, "My son and I watch Pastor Salem every Sunday as our church service. I recently have been diagnosed with cancer. Please add me to your prayer list." Another website comment from Iowa, "Please send me your monthly Bible study. May God continue to bless you and this wonderful worship service." In today's sermon, Christ and Him Crucified, Dad reflects on the cross, our Savior and the sacrifice He made for us. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekends come, because then we know we can gather together all over the world, and we all gather at the feet of Jesus and worship Him. And oh, what a joy it is when we come to Him. We're always refreshed and strengthened because He loves us and He helps us. And today we're going to be talking about the cross, the old rugged cross, and how Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified." So we're going to think about the Savior and the sacrifice He made for us. But first of all, let's look at Psalm 84, where the psalmist writes, "They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon thy face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give us strength and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." And oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that everybody everywhere will trust in You. And we mean by that that will receive You as their Savior, open their heart to You, and then put all their faith in You and never doubt or worry what a day may bring forth, because You are there going ahead of us. So bless this service and use it to speak to many hearts and souls. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And Melissa's going to start our service today. She's going to sing a song, "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him. Getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. About tomorrow, I don't see.
God bless you, Melissa. Thank you so much. And while she was singing that song, I was thinking, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow with me. I wonder if it'll just be a plain day, one of the regular days, or maybe it'll be some great sorrow come up on me. Maybe I'll learn of a loved one that's gone, or maybe it's some great joy, you know. Maybe I'll find 50 cents on the walk as I'm going along or something like that. Who knows? We don't have any idea. We make our plans, and we should make our plans. But the final word is only Jesus, only God knows tomorrow. And so when we trust him and lean on him, nothing's going to happen to us that he doesn't know all about. And I'll tell you something else about the things that happen to us. We're told in the scriptures that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so the things that happen tomorrow may be good things, may be hard things, but they all work together for good because God is in charge. That's the only way to live. But you have to have Jesus in your heart. These promises don't apply to you. They're not for you unless you have Jesus. They come with Jesus. And you have to have Jesus by just asking him to come into your heart. And just telling him, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, wash them away, my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. I'll live for you all my life. Thank you, Jesus. Just use your own words. Don't get the thee and the thou. If you want the thee and the thou, I do it pretty easy because I use the Old King James Version. I like it. I saw thee and thou. That's easy for me. Maybe that doesn't sound right to you, so you just say just in your own words, in your own way. And I talked to a man not too long ago, and he prayed for the first time. He prayed to accept Jesus, and I don't think he'd ever prayed before. And he asked Jesus to come into his heart, take away his sin, and he prayed in his prayer. And he says, and forgive me for the sins that I committed that I didn't know about. And I didn't think about that right then, but he did. And when he got done with his prayer, he said, goodbye. He didn't know you're supposed to say amen. He said, goodbye. Only thing you do is you pray in Jesus' name. If you want to say goodbye, that's just fine. God understands. Well, I want to share some letters, first of all, because we get so many nice letters about the letters, so we should share them with you. And a lot of times people are asking questions that you've been asking, but you just didn't get around to write. And one lady says, I thought it was such a dumb question. I didn't want anybody to know. And so I listened in and I got my answer. And so let's just look at some of these letters. The first one comes from Grand Forks, North Dakota, our neighbor to the north. My wife and I appreciate your program so much. We became Christians over 40 years ago when I was in the service. We were newly married, but I was looking for more meaning in my life. I asked God if he existed. In the military, people come and go. Soon, all the people in my carpool were Christian people. As I listened to them talk about Jesus and prophecy, I became hooked. Soon, both of my wife and I accepted Jesus as our Savior. There were no lightning bolts or voices, but a peace in my life. My wife and my life had a great experience with the Lord, and also she became a believer. We haven't looked back since to press on. We just keep pressing on. Keep on with the wonderful work with the Lord's help. And let's see the Lord's help you can do for him. And I thought about two things here. First of all, here's some people, and they weren't Christians. They didn't know the Lord. But they were in a carpool with Christian people. And these Christian people witnessed about the saving grace of Jesus. And they talked about their experiences with the Lord. And by their just talking and living it, these people came to know the Lord. And so that's what we have to do, be a good witness. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. And don't be grumbling and complaining how you got such a tough time. Maybe you do have a bunion that hurts you. I don't know. But just, you know, complaining about it isn't going to help a thing. So just let people know that you have Jesus. You'll never be disappointed in Jesus. And that could bring people to the Lord. And then one other thing that I wanted to notice, mention that he says, this man writes, he says, he accepted the Lord. He says, soon both my wife and I accepted Jesus as Savior. There were no lightning bolts or voices, but just a peace in my life. And I think that's very important to remember, because when some people accept the Lord, they are just so filled with the Lord and they're so happy they cry. And some just say, thank you, Jesus. And some of them, they just look like Mount Rushmore. They don't show anything. But in their hearts, there's a peace that comes. So everybody's different. And if you have an experience, and when you accept the Lord and you experience a rush of joy or something, that's fine. But if nothing happens, it's just what you, when you accept Jesus, you're making a contract with the Lord. And God is saying, if you accept my son into your heart, I'll make you my child. That's the deal. And so he's making you a proposition, and you say, yes, I want Jesus. Please come into my heart. And that's all there is to it. When I accepted Jesus, I didn't have any special feelings at all. I was 10 years old. I remember it as plain as if it was last night. But I never had any great experiences, except I knew because God said it, and I accepted it, and that settled it. Let's see, here's Minnesota, and I didn't put this in for a special reason because I don't want anybody to be maybe, you know, be a little small town or something. I know this gift isn't very large, but I always think that it may purchase 5 minutes of time on one station at the exact time someone is watching and giving their heart to Jesus. And so this person writes and says, now, I don't have much money, and I don't even remember what they sent anymore. It doesn't matter. But this person says, a lady, and she says, I feel like if I just give it, I can just get 5 minutes of time. If I just get enough money for to pay for 1 or 2 minutes, and in those 1 or 2 minutes, somebody comes to Jesus, won't that be wonderful? Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you give to the Lord's work, where the gospel is preached, where people are being saved, you have an investment in everyone who accepts the Lord, whether they accept the Lord on your time or not. It's because you're able to help. We couldn't come unless we had a lot of people helping us. And so you just put it in the pool, and you're all in it together, and you are, when persons come to the Lord or when people come back to Jesus or when young people are helped in their life and given some instructions and directions, when children accept Jesus, doesn't matter. You have an investment, an eternal investment. And I'll tell you how you can do that in just a few minutes. Here's from South Australia, Minlayson, South Australia. And I had Kent look this up, and that's 9,440 miles away. Can you believe it? And here it is, comes my email. I've only recently come across your program. I got a big surprise when I heard your age because you look younger. And boy, I saved that letter. I'm pleased to give something toward helping you stay on the air. And I got to thinking, you know, that because you look younger, you'd think that maybe I'd look old and tired out after coming 9,440 miles. But I look younger, so only God can do that. So I hope he keeps doing it. Here's Malacca Hill, New Jersey. When I first started watching your show, I felt the Holy Spirit upon me and felt truly blessed by God. How wonderful it feels to be loved by our Creator. Bless you and thank you for your preaching the words of encouragement, your sister in Christ. And that is wonderful to know that Jesus loves us. And the little children sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know this I know? I know because the Bible tells me so. God says that I love you and Jesus loves you. And you know what? He loves the old people too. For instance, here's the first verse in Isaiah 40, verse 11. And this is for the children. And it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs, that's the little children. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. My dad, all we had was sheep. He didn't want to have a cow on the place. We had a couple milk cows, and they were the dumbest things. But anyway, we had a couple milk cows, had to milk them every morning, every night. And boy, I didn't fall in love with those cows, I can tell you that. But we always had sheep. And I've seen him carry those little sheep, little lambs, some of them just born, and they're on spindly feet. And he carries them in his arms, and he carries them over to a place where he can put them where it's warm. And sometimes he used to bring them in the house and put them in a bushel basket and let them warm up. He carried those little lambs. Well, that's what God does. He carries all the little lambs, the little children, carries them all. But you know something? He carries old people too. Do you know that? Carries old people. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4, and this is what he says, and even unto your old age I am he, and even to hoarheads will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Isn't that beautiful? Now the Living Bible paraphrases it, and I just want to read the paraphrase, and this is the way they write it. I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior. That's Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4. Let me read it again. I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior. I'm 96. If I make it to June, I'll be 97. And that God's carrying me and helping me just like the little lambs. Isn't he a wonderful God? So trust Jesus. Take Jesus into your heart. And that wonderful shepherd will help you all through life. And at the end of life, he'll take you home. You'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. Well, let me see. I'm using up a lot of time here. I'm preaching little sermons as I go along, and I'm not charging you. So how can you beat that? Here's Lakeland, Florida. My mother and I have been listening to the Christian Worship Hour for over a year. We receive great comfort and inspiration from your down-to-earth services. My mother will be 98. Oh, I'm jealous of her. My mother will be 98 in March. Looks forward to your programs every Saturday. Her vision and hearing are limited, but she often sits next to the TV so she can see and hear you better. We appreciate the fact that you have partnered with the ECFA. May God continue to bless you and your staff. The ECFA is the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And what they do is they audit our books. Every penny we take in, every penny we spend. And if we want to be crooked, we can't, because they have their eagle eye on us. And so when you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, we're a member of this ECFA, Evangelical Council, Financial Accountability, and every penny will go for exactly what we say, for the preaching of the gospel. Let's see, here's one more. I think we've got time. Hutchinson, Kansas. And he says, I don't know if this is a lady or not. My husband and I watch your service from our home in Hutchinson, Kansas. We want to say thank you to everyone who makes your service possible every week. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm writing this letter to see if we can start receiving literature so we can continue our service as newfound Christians. Thanks again for all you do. And so this is a wonderful letter. And they've accepted the Lord recently. So we sent them literature on how to get started in the Christian life. And you know what? No matter where you are in the world, if you write to us or email us or get to us, we'll send you this literature to getting started in the Christian life. And we also have a little paper that we put out called The New Song, The New Song. We put it out every month. It's a Bible study. And this month, our Bible study is the marks of a true Christian. Are you growing in Christ? Are you a good Christian or not? See, and that's a little Bible study. It's all from the Bible, taken from the Bible. And so you just write to us. I'm going to give you the address just in a minute now. Get your pencil and paper, and then we'll send it to you. And maybe you could say, well, I just don't understand some of these verses. We'll explain the verses and we'll help you. It'll be a great blessing to you. And so you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I go into great detail on this because we have people watching on listening on a shortwave radio, and you've got a screen if you're on television, but they don't have that screen. And so do you want to know something? We cover 90% of the world's population by shortwave radio. And so we'd love to hear from you wherever you are. And we just had this letter from Australia today. And you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to do it, you know what? You can send a gift to help us over the email. You get ChristianWorshipHour.com on your computer, ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send money from any part in the world and we'll get American currency and we'll pay our bills. And so I just hope that you'll write because we have to have your help. Our only source of income is God's people. We're not tied to any denomination or organization or anything like that. Just the people of God worldwide. And so you just pray, dear Jesus, should I help these people? Is this something I should support? Is this something you're using? Do you want me to do that? And then if he says yes, then you just say, how much do you want me to give, Lord? Be sure to send it in. Let me give it one more time, especially for the shortwave people. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And the box is 57, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I got it all mixed up. But can you sort it out? No. Let me do it one more time. I've only done this about 40 years. 39 years I've been doing this. And so I just see if you're awake, see. And so it's Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And then you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. Thank you for your ministry of music. God bless you. Well, we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, and I know some of you do, you get dressed and everything. You can, some say, we get coffee, and we sit and drink coffee. And, well, that's just fine. Just, you know, stay awake. Well, you maybe go to sleep and spill it on yourself, and then there will be a problem there. But many people, we get letters, and they say, we get our Bibles. We get dressed up, and we get our Bibles, and we read along with you. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul starts, and he writes in verse 28, and he's going to talk about the cross. We're going to preach about the old rugged cross today. And he writes, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Who is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So now we're going to pray. And you know, every month, every week, we pray for the persecuted church. And today we're praying for the persecuted church in Syria. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel, the preaching of the cross. We thank you for the old rugged cross. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father. As St. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. And that's what we preach, and that's what the world needs to hear, because the way of the cross leads home. And that old rugged cross, you paid for our sins with your own precious blood. And you were dead, and you died on that cross. And the third day, you were raised from the grave. And you're now at the right hand of God, and someday you're going to come back. And the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll all be with the Lord forever and ever. Oh, we can hardly wait. And yet there's work to be done. We have to get the word out. We have to tell the good news to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to all the world. And we thank you that you opened the doors for that, Lord, through radio and television both. We can spread the gospel all over the world. And the Holy Spirit will pick up the wonderful word of God and apply it to hearts. And people will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And oh, we pray, dear God, that during our service today, multitudes will come to the old rugged cross, come to Jesus, and find salvation. Call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. May many do that today. And may others be comforted and helped. And then, dear Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Syria. And we know that some of them, many of them, well, dear Lord, thousands of them have been driven from their homes, and I don't know how many put to death. And so they've been faithful to you. And no matter what happens, they're not going to give up. They're not going to deny the Lord. And they went home to be with you, and they're going to wear the martyr's crown. And we're going to see those people someday. And we're going to tell them, thank you for standing for Jesus, even though it cost your life, because it helps us, it helps Christians all over the world. It gives us courage. And we say, if our brothers and sisters can do that, we will do it too, and help us to be faithful unto death. Now, Lord, just use this service. Use it to bring many to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Barb's going to sing, as has a song, Had It Been. God bless you. Had it not been, excuse me, had it not been.
Just suppose God searched through heaven supreme sacrifice that was needed, that could buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then a bitter cup, although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," and I'm so glad he never called heaven's angels from these hands. The nails that torment me, then forever my soul would be lost.
Well, thank you, Barb. God bless you. And that's what we're talking about, preaching about, is the old rugged cross. And, you know, we're moving into the Easter season now. And so this Sunday, this weekend, we're preaching about Christ and Him crucified. And then the next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to talk about Jesus on the cross. And there were seven sayings on the cross. And we're going to look at the seven sayings. The last thing he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That's what we're going to look at. Then the next Sunday, God willing, it's going to be Palm Sunday. And we're going to look at Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came riding a donkey down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. And they proclaimed him the King of the Jews. Well, he is coming back again, and that's what the sermon's going to be about, when he comes back and he's the king. And then the next Sunday, of course, Easter Sunday, and we're going to talk about the transforming power of the resurrection. It's an exciting, exciting time of the year. And so let's look at this matter of the cross today. Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 14, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross," the cross. And so we're looking at the cross. And when we talk about the cross, I'm sure that you all realize the Old Testament and the New Testament both talks about the death of Jesus. It starts out in the book of Genesis. It has a picture of that, and it goes throughout the whole Bible. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. The Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. And the Lamb of God refers to Jesus Christ. And when you get to the book of Genesis, start in the book of Genesis, where the first parents and their first children, they had a son named Cain and Abel. And Abel brought a sacrifice to the Lord. And we're told that by faith, he brought that sacrifice. And so by faith means that God had instructed him to, in order to have a sacrifice, he had to bring a lamb and slay that lamb and make it a sacrifice. It says he came by faith. And the only reason he had that faith was he'd been instructed by God. Now, Cain had been instructed by God also, and he brought the vegetables. He didn't bring a lamb. And God rejected Cain's offering, but he accepted Abel because without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And Abel has that, and Abel brings a correct sacrifice to God. The Passover lamb is another picture in the Old Testament about how Jesus Christ is going to die. This little lamb, there's to be taken up, and the lamb is for a family. And if the family was too small, two families could be together. But everyone was to have that animal, that lamb. And they were to take that lamb and sacrifice it and take the blood of the lamb and put on the side post and over the door, over the lintel. And that was a picture of the cross way back there in the Old Testament, in the Passover. And they still celebrate the Passover because it's Jesus Christ is coming. The Lamb of the world is going to come to die for the sins of the world. And then when you go into the Old Testament, you can look at the Levitical sacrifices. They tell the same thing. They have the great day of atonement when they slay an animal for everybody in the camp of Israel. The camps gather around this little tabernacle, and they're all in their groups in their different tribes. And then they sacrifice an animal, and that animal dies. It has to be a lamb or a goat, a young lamb or a young goat, and that blood is shed for the remission of sins. So over and over, it means it points out that this somebody has to die. An innocent something has to die for the guilty. And so with Abel, an innocent lamb dies for Abel's sins, to cover his sins. And in a day of atonement, they die, had an animal die for the sins of Israel. And it's just a covering. He never washed them away. It just covered their sins. And their sins were never washed away till Jesus went to the cross. And on the cross, he shed his blood. And then he paid for the sins of all the Old Testament and the New Testament and all as much as time is going to be. He paid for all of those sins on the cross. And just remember what God says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. He says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so it with Abel had a little lamb. And so it is on the day of atonement. They have a lamb. Something is dying. There's death and the shedding of blood. There's blood shed. In the Old Testament, the blood of that bulls and goats just covered the blood. Covered the sins. It didn't wash them away. When Jesus died, he took the sins of the whole world, died for them all, for all time. So this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, then we come to, and we see then it's also prophesied that Jesus Christ is going to go to the cross, that Jesus Christ is going to die. In the Old Testament, for instance, in Isaiah 53, this chapter sets forth the purpose and the results of the suffering of Christ. And it is so plain and so simple, it can't be missed. It can't be mistaken. For instance, in Isaiah 53, verse 3, this is what it says. He talks about this sacrifice that's going to come. See, this is Jesus hadn't been born yet. This is Old Testament. Isaiah is writing on the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He hid it, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So this is his sacrifice coming. It's a picture of Jesus. And then it goes on, it says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Talking about Jesus on the cross. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth. Look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He died for the people that would trust in him and believe in him. And he died for the whole world. But you have to receive the Lord in order for that to be applied to your heart and soul. In order to have your sins taken away, you have to personally ask Jesus Christ into your heart and your soul. So there's all the Old Testament is talking over and over. It just can't be mistaken. And then when you come to the New Testament, you come to the book of Acts, and there's an evangelist named Philip, and this is all in Acts chapter 8. Now you can read that when the service is over. Acts chapter 8, we don't have time to read it now. And Philip is, and he's traveling, and there's an Ethiopian eunuch, and he's traveling in a chariot, and he's reading Isaiah 53, these verses that I just read. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, go and talk to that eunuch riding in that chariot. He was a high official in the queen of Ethiopia. And he's riding on this chariot. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, no, I don't understand it. Somebody has to explain it. And so we're told this is all in Acts chapter 8. And so Philip takes this passage and he talks about Jesus. He's reading Isaiah 53 and he's preaching about Jesus. He says, this is Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so then when you get to the New Testament, you have the same thing. They're talking about the cross. They're talking about the death. They're talking about this sacrifice. And when you come to John the Baptist, and here he is, he comes out of the wilderness, and he's been worshiping God, and he's a man of God, and he's filled with the Spirit of God, and he comes and he's preaching, and there are multitudes of people that are coming to hear him preach, and they're confessing their sins, and they're being baptized because of sins. They confess their sins, and they're being baptized. And then with these multitudes, thousands of people, Jesus comes on the scene. John the Baptist stops, and all the multitude looks, and John the Baptist points at Jesus, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that Old Testament Lamb of Abel, and then of Day of Atonement, in Isaiah 53, and all building up, that Lamb is Jesus. And he's coming to die for the sins of the world. He says, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it's just beautiful because he talks about this wonderful Savior who's going to die for the sins of the world. And when he went to that cross, he died for you and he died for me. And oh, this wonderful Lord, bless his name. He went to that cross for our sins. And then we're told that he went on, and he comes to the time where he's going to have to die. And he is going to do that because he's going to die, and he's going to be in the center of the earth for 3 days and three nights. That's what we're told in Matthew chapter 12, 39 and 40. And this is what Jesus says. Oh, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after sign. He said, no sign will be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And this is the sign. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And this has reference to the death of Jesus Christ. And that can mean only one thing, that Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross, and he's going to be in the heart of the earth, because that's where the evil and the righteous and the unrighteous went. And they went to that place until the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus was there in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and then he was raised from the grave, and then he walks about among us. So Jesus tells us, and he tells us over and over about how that he's going to die for us. Jesus very pointedly about his death. He talks about his death. Look at John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And when he talked about the serpents in the wilderness, they remembered exactly what happened because of the sins of the people. And they're complaining against God and sinning against God. Serpents were sent and bit them and they were dying. And then God tells them, Moses, you make a serpent out of brass and you put it on a pole. And anybody that looks to that serpent, looks to that serpent for healing, will be healed instantly. And that was a picture of Jesus who's going to be slain and he's going to be on a cross. And whoever looks at him and accepts him is going to be saved instantly. It isn't a process. The moment you believe, you're born again. And when you're born again, it doesn't take 6 months to be born again. It's a matter of seconds and it's done. And so when they come to Jesus Christ, we're born again with this wonderful Lord Jesus. And so then he said, and he says, and I be lifted up in John chapter 12. And I, if I be lifted up the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That is, I'm going to draw all people to come. I'm going to urge them to come. I'm going to get the invitation to all the people that he said, signifying what death he should die. And so Jesus is going to die on that cross, that old rugged cross, because he loved us and paid his price for us. And so when we look at this, we look at Peter, and Peter talks about this wonderful crucifixion of Jesus. And it's all so that the blood of Christ can be shed. You see, I can't die for you and you can't die for me because we're all sinners. And we can't have our dog die for us because one of our kind has to be a human being, dies for a human being. And that's why Jesus has a body. He's born of the Virgin Mary and he has a body. And in that body, he's God and he's man. And as man, he dies to pay for your sins and my sins. Only Jesus could do it. And Peter talks about that. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, we are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And once again, Peter tells us in chapter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he brings us to God. He makes it possible for us to come to God. You see, the way it is now, if we have our sins, and we're all sinners, and God says there's none righteous, no, not one. He says again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was only one sinless man that ever walked this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. And all of the rest, every other creature, every other person, man, woman, and child, they're all in their sins. And when we come to that age of accountability and we have those sins and we die in those sins, we can never enter heaven. There's no possible way to get into heaven because there'll be no sin in heaven. And so what do? Jesus pays for our sin. And when whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus says, he that heareth my word in John 5:24, he says, behold, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. The minute you believe, you have everlasting life. There are those people say, oh, I don't know if you'll have life. I don't know if I'll get into heaven till I die and I get to the door and see. I know right now I'm going to heaven. You say, well, yeah, because you're a preacher. That doesn't make a bit of difference. My poor old sinner saved by grace. But the blood of Jesus Christ, that's what it is. And what it simply means is when we accept the Lord Jesus, we become his child that very second. And then he says, I hold him in my hand. He says, whosoever believe in the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he says, when you believe in me, I hold you in my hand. And my Father holds me in his hand. And they shall never perish. And so it means that when I accept Jesus, and 10 years old, I prayed that prayer. I just prayed a little prayer. The evangelist gave me was John 1, verse 9. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I, that day and that night, just 10 years old, out in a country schoolhouse, prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And that moment I was born again, and I was a child of God, and I am a child of God, and there'll never be a time I won't be a child of God. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, this wonderful Savior, He's paid for all of those sins. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become His child. And when you become His child, He gives you the Holy Spirit the minute you believe. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and you're a part of the body of Christ. And none of the body of Christ will ever be in hell. It's predestined for heaven. And so you have to come to that place where you say, "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins." And Billy Graham says, if you have some big sins that bother you, name them, not to men and not to people, just as you talk to Jesus. Tell him those sins if you want to. And then when you tell him about your sins, Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, so far will I remove your transgressions from you. You will never have to face them. And God says that I forgive you all your sins, and your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. He says, I don't even know you have sins. When you have them washed away in the blood of the Lamb, you're all clean. The slate is all clean. And as we live our life, maybe we lose our temper. Maybe we do things wrong. But we don't lose our soul. We lose our fellowship. And so we have to confess our sins. Every day I confess my sins to Jesus. But I doesn't have a thing to do with going to heaven, because that's all settled. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But as I've traveled through life, then if I do something the Lord says on lays on my heart that I've done wrong, or I should have done it, I didn't do, I ask Him to forgive me. And you know how many times He'll forgive you? 1,000,000 times. Would that be enough times? What does God say? My grace is sufficient for thee. That is, my grace and my love and my blood is what will last for, will cover any sins or any number of sins that you've committed. He said, where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is greater than all of our sins. And sometimes people say, oh, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. And if I didn't know, if I was ignorant about it, then that's one thing. But I knew it was wrong and I did it, and God will never forgive me. And God says, I don't care what you do. The prodigal son went in his sins and he knew he was doing wrong. But when he came back, the father had his arms open and took him to himself. And that's what God will do. Maybe you've accepted the Lord and you drifted away from him, and you want to come back and restore that fellowship. Your soul is saved, but you want to restore that fellowship. And you say, dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins. And when you pray that prayer, he'll hear you and he'll heal you. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you some literature to help you. Anywhere in the world, I don't care where you're at, we'll send you that literature. And then you read the Gospel of John. Start reading that. That's a wonderful book to read. But read the Bible and get into a church. Try to find a church where they're preaching the Bible. And then you write to us. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'd love to hear from you. And maybe you just want to write and have a question. Maybe you want to send a gift. We got to have your help. James says, you have not because you ask not. If we don't tell you we have a need, you'll say, well, they must be all right. No, we're not. We're living just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. That's what we do. And you just give us enough to carry on. That's all we want. 39 years we've been doing it this way. Now I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, I just pray for all those who have opened their heart to you. Thank you for saving their soul. Bless those on beds of sickness. Bless the shut-ins. Help the young people. Be with the children. Be with us all. And Lord, help us just to trust you and lean on you, the everlasting arms. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, next week, we're going to be thinking about the words of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. In the meantime, be sure to write to us. Shortwave people, here it is. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'd love to hear from you. We'd have to hear from you if we're going to meet our bills. So you pray and we'll pray for you. And during this Easter season, we're thinking especially about the cross and the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus. We didn't deserve that, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. They won't go to hell, but we have eternal life. Him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. So, dear Lord, just bless us all. Turn our hearts and our eyes to you. Help us to live for you and to tell others. Help us to be a good witness. And someday we're going to see a face-to-face. And we're going to see all of our friends. We've been worshiping with you all over the world. And we're going to see your faces. And we're going to know your voice and your name. And, oh, we'll see Jesus. So we thank you for all we have through Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful, wonderful Jesus.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.